thy will be done on in heaven and also on earth, Matthew 6 and 10. You know, we are learning and understanding just how important this office is to the government and primary function of the kingdom of the church and the kingdom of God. We are also learning why the church has been stagnated in her advancement over the years because of the absence of that office, because the church really hadn't been moving forward. We hadn't been seeing the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, the manifestations, because the church was out of alignment. But this is changing. So we're coming to understand the generalship of this office and how it functions in the church and how it is first in rank and in importance and its necessity for that office to be in place for the kingdom of God to function. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All these gifts take their marching orders or take their instructions from the apostolic, you know. And if you don't, you think about, like I stated, you know, several times before, growing up as a military kid, you understand that even certain bases and certain camps have a general that's over that particular base. And everybody on that base takes their marching orders from the general who's assigned over, you know, whether that's Camp Lejeune or Fort Bragg or whatever military base it is, because that's the person who's in charge. Well, each apostle has a specific area where God has placed them. And a sphere or a rim of influence in a geographical location. And everybody needs to line up properly with the apostolic government that God has set so that the church can move forward the way God has designed it to do so. Okay, now what happens is Satan has caused a division through the spirit of pride, causing many spiritual leaders not to yield and submit to government and to align properly. I mean, there are many, many churches out there, many people desiring to do a good work and have a heart for God, but because of not being aligned properly, they're not flowing, they're not growing, they're not seeing the manifestations, and that's where we need to deal with the spirit of pride how can I say this? And people learn how to submit to the things of God. In the book of Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. It's talking about how God set up, you know, he says, now there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Methene, which had been brought up by Tetrad and Saul. And as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They were commissioned to go. Now, what I want to point out is the word commissioning, or they were sent out. You know, that's what apostolic government does. It properly sends out people, commissioning them to do the work of the ministry. And that's so very important that we understand that. They were sent out by the Holy Ghost, but they were conferred upon by the apostles. Amen? One of the things I stated in one of our first classes is that the anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. And that's why it's so very important to be in alignment properly so that you can get everything that God desires for us to have. Pride will cause many to go forth in ministry before being properly sent out. Because one thing about pride has people who walk and operate in the spirit of pride or the spirit of Leviathan have an independent spirit. They think they can do it on their own without any help or any assistance because they know they have a call of God on their life and they're so eager to do it until they don't wait for proper instructions. Even McDonald's, the corporation McDonald's, you know, the Big Mac company, before you could be assigned or be given a McDonald's franchise, McDonald's check you out. They make sure you have the financial backing. You know, you got to have probably $500,000, and I don't know what it is. It used to be $250,000, but it may be upwards of $1 million of revenue up front to start the McDonald's. They'll train you. They'll take you in the business classes and show you the intricacies of how McDonald's will run. And then they'll train your people. You know, so there's a lot to go on before you even qualify to have your own McDonald's franchise. And the reason why I'm saying that, McDonald's is very successful. There's very few McDonald's that I've seen in my lifetime closed. There's been a few, but not many. You know, so they're very successful. They do geographical studies to see the demographics of the people in the area and you know, and the flow of traffic on that particular street. All that's done. And the reason why I stated that is because when we step out in ministry, we first must be commissioned by God, ordained by apostles to go forth in ministry with the blessing and the grace of God upon our lives. And you see, when you do that, you're walking in honor. You're walking not ahead of yourself, but you're walking. It's so important to have that covering, and honor gives you that covering. It gives you that protection. And you know, why do so many Christians think that they can just go out one day and start a church, you know, without first being sent? You know, when the timing is right, pride will send you out before the time. Satan, even though he was the fallen angel that God, the Bible says he fell from heaven as lightning, he still seeks out to exalt himself and lord over, and he wants the kingdom, and he wants to eclipse or cut off God's glory. Well, he's doing this now. He tries to do this now through the vehicle of man, by causing men to have the same disposition that he had, pride. Pride, the Bible says, goes before the fall. And when he operates in that capacity or influence people to walk in pride, they miss out on what God has. There is a measure of safety and protection bestowed upon ministry gifts when they are correctly positioned in ministry offices. Apostle Thompson said this one Sunday, you know, that there is a grace, there's an apostolic grace upon those who connect properly and who are aligned. I've been in prison ministry for about 28 years. And I can remember those early years, one of the things I always did was acknowledge my pastor before I went to minister. And by doing that, acknowledging him, acknowledging the ministry I'm from, I'm automatically now positioning myself properly with spiritual government and spiritual alignment. Not knowing what I was doing, but all of a sudden we begin to see results. You know, I know other people who were done other things, but it's to the point where when we train someone to come out and be a part of prison ministry, we said, if you don't acknowledge your head, spiritual government, and let people know that you're submitted to a man of God or to a ministry, they need to see your connection more so than they need to see you. Because going back to what I said, the anointing of God always flows down. And when you align yourself properly with proper government, the anointing that's on the apostle, that's on that office, because you acknowledging and submitting and yielding to it, that anointing flows down on you for proper ministry. You know, and one of the things I always tell people is it's so very important to follow orders and to follow protocol. You know, if we're teaching on spirit, soul, and body, that's what you're teaching on. You know, even in the early years, whatever apostle back, you know, when we were in the old church, whatever he ministered that day is what I ministered in prison. I just took my notes and I rehearsed what I just heard. and being able to get such glorious results was really a blessing, because, you know, not knowing much about alignment back then, it was working for me, even though, you know, we still were in the infancy of apostolic government. Okay, Satan, through the trickery and deception stemmed from the spirit of Leviathan, will use pride to deceive ministry gifts and thinking that they can do it on their own. A person influenced by the spirit of pride will demonstrate three distinct characteristics, and you need to know these. The first one is stubbornness. And a person whose stubbornness have a steadfastness, a unchanging attitude. They're just being stubborn. I'm a stick to my guns. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. I'm fixed on what I'm doing. That's a stubborn spirit. Secondly, they're very inflexible, or inflexibility, unwilling to change, not able or wanting to bend. Last week I talked about people who had a stiff neck. A person operating in the spirit of Leviathan, the Bible talks about stiff-necked people. In other words, the truth is being given to you, but you're not yielding to it. You're being inflexible, unwilling to change. And the third characteristic of a person operating in pride is hardness of heart. When a person has operated in hardness of heart, they're insensitive to hear from God, because when your heart or your soul is hardened, it's not pliable. It has a defense around it, and it's keeping you from hearing from God, and you're not sensitive. You're not sensitive to the things of God. It's almost like a callousness or a hard shell that's keeping you from moving forward. And we talked last week, and I'm going to just kind of reiterate a few things. I'm not going to get in this overly. But how that the spirit of Leviathan, we talked about him being, I'm going to read out of Isaiah 27 and 1. It says, in that day the Lord will with his sword great and strong, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeting serpent. And we talked about Leviathan being like a serpent or a sea monster. It used a reference of a crocodile or a reptile in the sea. But the only way to come against that spirit of Leviathan is by the Spirit of God and walking in complete and total humility. All right. Let me move on. In the book of Job, there were several questions that the Lord asked Job. God asked Job several questions in Job 41 concerning the spirit of Leviathan. And each question reveals the sinister nature of the spirit of Leviathan. One of the questions in Job 41, verses 1 and 2 says, can thou cast out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou let it down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? I'm sorry. And then it also says, can thou draw out Leviathan, or pride, which is, you know, like a crocodile or some reptile, with a fish hook, or press down his tongue with a cord? Can thou put a rope unto his nose and pierce his jaw through with a hook or a spike? These questions that God asked Job, they have to do with the inability of man to dominate the spirit of Leviathan on his own, or in his own ability. Because, as I stated earlier, the only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan, or pride, is by God's anointing, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus. You know, you have to recognize, that's one of the reasons why a lot of times I say, Lord, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face, because I'm dependent completely and totally upon him to lead me and to guide me into all truth. You know, one of our daily prayers should be, Lord, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You know, and God will, you know, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why? Because we acknowledge him. And all our, and everything that we do, we should acknowledge God. So the only way to defeat the spirit of pride is by the anointing, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus. Humility and humbleness and humility begins by recognizing our limitations and our dependency upon God. Arrogant people do not depend upon God for survival or depend upon God as their source, nor do they seek help to achieve a goal. They rely on their own strength to obtain, you know, their desired end. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. Now in Job, I guess this is around the third verse of Job 41, it says, "Will thou make supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee?" That's talking about Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride, is an obstacle to prayer. People who find themselves operating in that spirit don't consider prayer as an important part of their spiritual life. I remember a couple of years ago, and I need to really be discreet on how I even give this example, but we had to talk to an individual who were doing things that they were instructed by leadership not to do. And we were told to, you know, bring them in a room and talk to them and encourage them. You know, this is the protocol. This is the way things flow in the ministry. You just can't do what you want to do. You can't publicize your business or something that you're trying to do and solicit for people to help you out in church. It's just not going to work. That's a no-no. And so after talking to the individual for a while, we all, you know, stood up and we prayed just to kind of solidify everything. And while I was praying, that individual, we were all holding hands. And that individual, we were all in a, you know, prostrate, bowed position praying. That person was just looking around, looking around. We were praying in the spirit. They were just looking around. So that let me know that they didn't consider that prayer important. They were going to do what they were going to do. They laid low for a year, year and a half, broke back out with their same agenda, and they were dismissed from the ministry. You know, but that was pride. And see, one of the things I've also found out about pride is contagious. You got to deal with it. You know, you deal with that spirit of pride because it'll take root in other people. And then not now you got, instead of one tree you got to chop down, you got several more, you know, so you always want to deal with that spirit of pride. A person influenced, and I just said this, influenced by the spirit of pride does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. That's something you definitely need to know. They may pray, but in their minds, their mind is already made up. The spirit of pride, or the spirit of Leviathan, commonly known as pride, is an obstacle of prayer to people who are influenced by that spirit. Arrogant people are unable to understand and the need and the importance of prayer because they usually make their own way and make their own decisions. Humble people recognize the need to seek God and to pray because they realize it is impossible to live without him, you know, and be victorious. You know, the scripture says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. You know, so very important that we recognize that, you know, our communication with God is very important. However, those who are arrogant make decisions without seeking God through prayer because they consider it unnecessary. I remember even back when I was in college and I was about to graduate, I had some decisions I needed to make. Whether or not I should pursue grad school and move on to do other things. And I was really just beginning to kind of understand and submit to the fact I knew God had a call on my life. And I never remember taking a day off and just going out in a secluded place off, not really in the woods, but in a kind of remote area, and just sitting down for hours and just praying and just thanking God and giving him praise and just, Lord, I need wisdom on what's my next move. You know, the Lord instructed me not to go to grad school. He instructed me on several things, and I thank God for it, to not to leave the state, you know, to stay in this area. You know, just things that if I wouldn't have been obedient then, I would not be here now, because I would have, my desire was to do other things, you know, but God, you know, but it's so very important that we recognize that the most important thing in our lives is to fulfill the will of God. And you honor God when you fulfill the will of God for your life. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. You know, but we want to, you know, God to say, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, that honors God. And when you honor God, God will honor you. All right, let's move on. The spirit of pride does not make covenant with anyone because it has an independent spirit. A prideful person cannot honor a covenant. In that fourth verse in Job 41, it says, will thou make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him as a servant forever? The spirit of Leviathan does not make covenant with anyone because it has an independent spirit. It thinks it has no weaknesses. Now, one thing that a covenant is designed to do is a covenant is a pledge, a promise, a vow between two or more people. To honor the terms and the conditions of the covenant. And a covenant is really designed to eliminate weaknesses. You know, you'll make covenant with somebody who has greater strength than you, and so now you can rely on their strength, you know, and you might have something that they need. Whenever they need it, they know because of your covenant relationship that they can count on you. You know, that's what a covenant is. A covenant is a pledge, a vow, a promise between two or more people. And it's a covenant is the strongest contract known to man, and its agreement is unto death. In other words, nothing should eliminate or break a covenant. But people who operate in the spirit of pride or Leviathan, they're constantly breaking covenant. You know, when you walk in the spirit of pride, you cannot walk in honor. Often people who choose divorce in a marriage because they are influenced by Leviathan, which makes them unable to forgive or to humble themselves. Hence the reason why they prefer to dissolve the marital union rather than admitting to their mistakes and working it out, because they are covenant breakers, because a marriage is a covenant, it's a vow. So, you know, that you made to your spouse. You know, pride says I'm right and you're wrong. You know, in most cases, you always got fault in a marriage. You know, I'm just using one example of a covenant. People in ministry, and they'll say, you know, God called me here. God planted me here to be in this ministry. And all of a sudden, something happened and they up and leave. And they just broke a covenant. You know, because they said with their mouth that, you know, this is where God sent me to submit, to serve, you know, and something may happen. And instead of them honoring that covenant, pride will cause them to devour that covenant and to move on and to be a covenant breaker. Pride blinds people's eyes. It makes them unable to receive and to walk in the covenant they have established through the blood of Jesus. It makes them unable to receive accurate godly revelation because they're not going to receive no impartation. They are not sensitive to God's voice. Also, too, back in that same verse in Hebrews 41 and 4, wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Pride does not want to serve. It wants to lead. A person who's prideful because they think they're better than others, they want to always be in charge. A servant of Christ is a believer who serves people. If you want to serve, pride prevents you from serving and submitting properly. You will have an ulterior motive are, you know, are a hidden agenda. People who operate in the spirit of pride, in most cases, they have their own ulterior motive and a hidden agenda, you know, because they're looking out for number one. A person who walks in pride, they're looking out for number one. It's not about the group. It's not about operating as one man. It's about what can you do for me? And that's what the... Let me... There was something I wanted to go to last week. I got a few minutes, and I want to make sure if I can find it right quick from my notes last week. Give me a second. Here it is. Proverbs 16, 5 and 6. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join hands, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Those who walk in pride have no fear of the Lord, no reverential fear of God. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, we see Lucifer, and he gives us a perfect example of how pride operates. I'm going to read this. This is Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did it weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee will narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? Pride is just very arrogant. Pride, like I said, is all about me, I. And that's, you know, in Isaiah, I just read 14, 12 through 14, it is five or six times Satan is saying, I. Pride is full of selfishness and exaltation, self-centered, overly confident in self, in one's own ability. A prideful person has an independent spirit. All right, I wanted to share that last week, but I didn't get a chance. But when we got to this point, I said, yeah, that'll be a good time to interject it. Okay, now humility is a requirement for service. We were talking about people walk in pride. They don't want to serve. But humility is a requirement for service. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit to him and to serve him. The major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under somebody they consider less knowledgeable or who has less time in ministry than them. You know, that's pride. You might be put under somebody who might be 20 years your junior. In other words, they're 20 years younger than you. You know, you've been through a lot, you know, but you've been called to submit to somebody and answer to them. Pride won't let you submit. The word submission, when you look at submission, the word sub means under. And then mission means, you know, when you follow a mission or a vision. So when you walk in submission, you fall under the mission or the vision of another. Submission. You know, so it's so very important that we understand that when we're submitted, you know, we're falling under. The Bible says, you know, that it's so very important that, you know, how do we expect God to give us our own ministry if we're not faithful in another man's ministry? So it's very important that we understand that service is when you walk in servitude, you're walking in honor, because it's a God-designed program to you getting the blessings of God and getting to where God wants you to be. All right, I got 7 minutes. Let me move on. Pride is also very controversial. In Job 41, 8 and 9, lay your hand upon him. Remember the battle with him. You will not do such an ill-advised thing again. Behold, the hope of the assaultant is disappointed. One is cast down even at the sight of him. Pride will fight against you on every side. An important word of advice is to remember, you never want to argue with a prideful person, because the disagreement will have a beginning, but it'll never have an end, because a prideful person will always want to have the last word. He delights in knowing that people who dare to oppose him is shredded into pieces. Controversial people are arrogant, and the Word of God teaches that God resists the proud. James 4:6 says, but he giveth grace. Wherefore said he, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. The spirit of Leviathan pride protects itself, and I stated this last week, with other spirits that serve as impenetrable shields. Some of those other things that garrison themselves around pride would be things like anger, contention, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, all of those things, because the root cause of sin is going to be pride. But it's going to manifest itself in all kind of other things. And you might say, well, that person just, they always walk in strife. They're very argumentative. They're very dogmatic. They always want to have their own way. But all of those things, when you get down, and I use the terminology, when you, it's a mathematical term, when you break it down to its lowest terms, you're going to see pride at the root of it. The base is going to be the thing that, and you see, when you deal with the pride, the anger going to go away. When you deal with the pride, the strife going to go away. When you deal with the pride, that argumentative spirit is going to go away. Amen. To the root of the matter is going to always be pride. All right, let me move on. Got 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Overcoming the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride is eliminated by always walking in humility. When you walk in humility, you can't walk in pride. Because you, one of the things I state about humility, humility is not weakness. Humility is your strength. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses, by submitting to God, caused the sea to open, the Red Sea to open, caused the plagues to come down on Pharaoh that caused him to release, God's chosen people. But he did this through humility, because even Moses himself says, Lord, I can't even speak. He said, who should I say sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. So Moses just obeyed God. And that's humility. But in that humility, there is strength, because all Moses did was line himself up properly with the will of God. And by lining himself up properly, the backup was always there. Didn't look like Moses had no backup, but he had some backup. Why? Because he operated in humility. There was no pride involved. Humbleness means to recognize our humanity, that we are mere humans outside of Christ, and we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Humility helps us to identify who and what we are without exalting ourselves above measure, and let us recognize our total dependency upon Christ. Humility is not a decision, but the recognition of who we are, recognizing our value in God, making us truly humble. And I think I might have stated this before. I got a few more things. When I first started teaching these classes some 6, 7 years ago, in the natural, I'm saying, Lord, I can't do this. You know, I would leave driving my car home and I say, you know, I need to just tell Apostle, I just can't do this. You know, I don't feel like I'm equipped for it. You know, but God said, if you're a man of God, chose you, he knows you got something in you, and just, you know, submit to God, you know, and acknowledge your insufficiencies, and God is going for, you know, in your weakness, God's going to make you strong, you know, and that's in every aspect of ministry. You know, when you acknowledge and humble yourself before God, he will exalt you in due season. You know, Proverbs 18 and 12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility. So if you want to go the way of honor, and this class is the spirit of honor, you got to walk in humility. That's Proverbs 18 and 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. One of the things we said last week was in the Message Bible, it says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. That's what the Amplified Bible says. No, I'm sorry, the Message says of Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride is the root of all sin. Pride is the belief that a person is greater or better than others. Prideful people are an insult to God. They are detestable, repulsive, and offensive in the presence of God. Let's see. Pride or prideful people experience difficulty in life if they don't repent. Humbleness and service to others overcomes and defeats pride. The Lord can deliver us from the spirit of pride by humbly, by humility and fear of the Lord, riches, honor, and life. Let me read that again. That's Proverbs 22 and 4, and I'm going to shut it down. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Amen? All right, we're going to conclude for the day. You guys be blessed. And we may continue in this area for one more class. If not, we'll get back into the book.